And I'd like you to kind of ask yourself, what is it that you want to get out of this? What is it that's going on in your life that you really want to get another way to look at? Also, I'd like you to remember that there's a part of us, according to the Course, there's a part of us that hates everything that we're about to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of us that doesn't want to hear what we're about to hear. And that will try to frighten you with what you're about to hear. There's another part of you that has longed to hear what we're about to hear all your life. There's a part of you that wants to hear the truth. There's a part of you that wants to love yourself. And there's a part of you that wants to have the kind of peace that passes all understanding. There's so much peace you can't even understand how you could possibly be having so much peace. And that you don't have to believe it, because if you tell yourself you have to believe and understand everything you hear, the Course says if you tell yourself you have to believe it, you won't let yourself hear it. If you tell yourself you have to believe everything that I say that's coming out of this book, then it cuts down on your ability and your willingness to hear what you're about to hear. So let go of the idea that your believing it is what makes it real. And we're going to do page 225. I'm going to continue with the section that's called the same curriculum on page 225. I got some extra books up front if somebody wants to use the book to follow along, because it helps you be able to read it. When you try to do it on your own, it's much easier to do it on your own if you've had a chance to kind of go through it. I'm going to read the first three paragraphs. And so those of you who have the book, I want you to, you know, try to focus in with me. It says, only love is strong. Only love is strong because love is undivided. The strong do not attack because the strong see no need to attack. Before the idea of attack can enter your mind, you must have perceived yourself as weak. Because you attack yourself and believe that the attack was effective, you behold yourself as weakened. No longer perceiving yourself and your brothers as equal and regarding yourself as weaker, you attempt to equalize the situation you've made. You use attack to attempt to equalize the situation you've made because you believe that attack was successful in weakening you. That's why the recognition of your own invulnerability is so important to the restoration of your sanity. Because if you can accept your invulnerability, you are recognizing that attack has no effect. Although you have attacked yourself, you will be demonstrating that nothing really happened. Therefore, by attacking yourself, you have not done anything. Once you realize that by attacking yourself, you have not done anything, you will no longer see, in a sense, an attack, because attack manifestly does not work and cannot protect you. Yet the recognition of your own invulnerability has more than negative value. If your attacks on yourself have failed to weaken you, you are still strong. You therefore have no need to equalize the situation to establish your strength. You will never realize the utter uselessness of attack except by recognizing that your attack on yourself has no effects. For others do react to attack if they perceive attack. And if you are trying to attack them, you will be unable to avoid interpreting this as reinforcement. The only place you can cancel out all reinforcement and attack is in yourself. For you are always the first point of your attack. And if this has never been, your attack on yourself has no consequences. Okay, so first off, it starts off by telling us the difference between how a strong person operates and how a weak person operates, how a strong man operates and how a weak man operates. He says that love is, only love is really strong because love is undivided. So when you are strong, you don't attack, because when you are strong, you don't see any need to attack. It's just like if I know the truth for myself, then there's no need for me to defend my truth. So I really don't care whether anybody else believes what I believe or not. When I'm strong in my belief, you can tell, because I really don't have any attachment to whether or not you accept my beliefs or you accept what I'm saying or not. Because if I'm strong, I don't have any need to defend. I don't have any need to defend if I know I'm strong. So the Course is saying that, so people ask, well, then what is it that makes us attack each other? What is it that creates attack? And the truth just told us, what makes a person attack another person is they have to see themselves as weak first. So before I get angry, I have to see myself as weak and vulnerable, and then I get upset with you. First I have to see myself as weak, he says, before I attack. And then he says, when you attack, you're attacking because you see yourself as weakened. And so since I see myself as weaker than you, and I no longer see myself as equal with you, then I'm going to attack you, because the attack worked on me, so maybe it'll work on you so that I can equalize the situation so me and you are both the same again. That's the same as, like, you seem to be a really loving person, and you seem like you're more loving than I am. So what I'm going to do is to try to judge you and bring you down to where I am so that it can look like me and you are on the same level again. So whenever you arouse anybody who has a poor self-image and don't love themselves, sooner or later they're going to attack you, because they're going to try to bring you down to the same level that they see themselves on. So be aware of that when you make relationships with people who don't love themselves. They're going to unconsciously, they're not, it's not like they're going to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to try to attack somebody today. It's just what you naturally do when you believe that you've been weakened, and all of us want to be in an environment where we feel like we're equal. So we bring the other person down. Most cases, people bring the other person down to where they are more so they're trying to elevate themselves to the higher level that they see the other person as being. Most people are. That's why you see it so much, like in politics, on TV. Like when I watch TV now, like a lot of people got this big thing about, you know, you're unconscious if you watch television. Okay, that's just another form of judgment, just like anything else. So the truth is, there's not anything in the world that cannot be used for your enlightenment. Nothing. TVs, movies, anything can be used for your enlightenment. So one sign of the ego is when you assign your way of getting enlightened as being better than what somebody else is doing. That's just another form of the ego too. You're just as much in your ego as anybody else. So don't think you're more holy because you don't watch TV anymore. Okay? Or you'll think you're more holy because you do. Okay, but what the Course is telling us is that, first of all, if I'm strong, I don't see any need to attack anybody. But if I think I'm weak, I'm going to attack everybody, because I want to bring them down to the same level that I think I'm on, because I want to equalize the situation. And if I want to equalize the situation, I want to attack the person that I'm around so that I can make me equal to them, because I believe attack was successful in weakening me. So what I mean by attack, I mean everything that you tell yourself all the time that makes you feel less than peaceful about yourself. I'm not talking about getting up and walking across the room and necessarily smacking somebody physically, even though it is a form of attack. I'm talking about, the Course says, any form of lack of peace is an attack on yourself. If you worry all the time, you're attacking yourself. If you're depressed all the time, you're attacking yourself. If you're angry at your life all the time, you're attacking yourself. If you're constantly dissatisfied, you're attacking yourself. And when you attack yourself, then you're going to try to look and see what the flaws are in everybody else around you so that you can make them just like you see yourself. So if you're around a person that does not love themselves, it's very easy for them to get into a judgmental position about you, because they're trying to make you look just like them. That's what I love about watching in the world, watching anybody that the world puts up on any kind of pedestal, just watching how long it takes before they start tearing them down. You know, so the higher, the quiet, because everybody's got to equalize the situation. So I can't get you too much higher than me, so I got to start picking at you now, and I got to see if I can see the flaws in you so I can make you like me. So then it goes into the next paragraph and it says, well, how do you get away from all that? How do you get away from attacking yourself? How do you get away from attacking others? Well, the way you do it is you have to recognize your own invulnerability. He says, because if you don't recognize that you can't be hurt, you'll never be restored to your sanity. You'll never be restored to your peace. So let me loop back. First of all, you are more than bodies. You are spiritual beings having a human experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You have always existed. You are now existing in what appears to be physical bodies, and you're going to continue to exist after your physical body dies. You came here and you went into the sleep of forgetfulness. You became mesmerized by all the things that the world has taught you, and now you believe you are what you believe you are. But who you really are is beyond all of the stuff that you believe you are. And so therefore, you are still strong. You're still a child of God. You're still an unlimited being. You are still love. And that's true about you regardless of the story you're running down in your mind about who you are. The story that you're running down in your mind about who you are, that is what the Course calls your false self, which is your ego. And then you identify with this self you made up, and you let the self you made up start to tell you what you are feeling. So I'm telling myself to tell me what I'm telling myself. Okay? I'm telling myself to tell me life sucks. I'm telling myself to tell me I don't feel very good. I'm telling myself to tell me that I can never be happy. The self that's telling me what I told it to tell me is what the Course calls our ego. The self we made up. Alright, so the self I made up will tell me that I've been hurt. The self I made up will tell me that I'm not okay. Okay, that's what the Course said. But the truth is, I am okay. I am not the self I made up. So he said, before we can even begin to get back to sanity, we have to realize that who we really are cannot be hurt. Not your body. Of course your body can be hurt. You've had enough experiences in your life to know your body can be hurt. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to remember how you learned how to ride a bicycle, I'll bring that home. You know what I'm saying? But it was funny, when I was a kid and I fell down, because I was learning how to ride a bicycle, even though it hurt, I got back up and got back on the bicycle because my desire to ride the bicycle was stronger than that, was more powerful than the obstacles that came up in terms of me falling. So eventually I learned how to ride a bicycle. I fell down. What did I do wrong? Let me see if I can get... Now when we fall off the bicycle of our life, we judge ourselves mercilessly for ever falling down rather than going, okay, I just made a mistake. Let me get back on the bike of my life and let me keep on going toward my goal. But the older you get, it's like I fell down and while I'm laying on the ground, let me call my therapist. And that's okay, but let me analyze it. Let me judge myself. Let me feel bad about the fact that I fell down, rather than just getting my butt back on the bicycle and doing it again. But if I'm afraid to get back on the bicycle, I got to lay on the ground and convince myself how horrible it is so I won't get back on the bicycle. So if I really want the goal, then I don't let any obstacle stop me. If I really don't want the goal, anything can stop me. And that's how you can tell the difference between something you really want and something you're pretending like you want. Something that you're pretending like you want, anything stops you. Something you really want, nothing stops you. And then the Course says your desire for it will pull you past the obstacle to getting it. You want it so much, the obstacle can't stop you. So my basic point is to say, you are still strong. No matter what you've been through in your life, no matter what you've been told, no matter what you're going through now, you are still strong. He says, seeing yourself as still strong, regardless of the attacks on yourself, is the key to the restoration of your sanity. That's what's right there. Okay. That's on page 225. Okay, then the next part of it says... What does that mean to accept that you are invulnerable? What does it mean to accept that you cannot be hurt? Like, that's an interesting statement, but how do I accept the idea that I can't be hurt? Well, it says you do it simply by saying the attacks on myself have really had no effect on who I really am as a child of God. I know I think I'm hurting right now, but it's really had no effect on who I really am. So whenever you say it has no effect on who you really are, that's you recognizing your invulnerability. So it's not saying I'm invulnerable, therefore I can take a brick and hit my hand with it and it's not going to hurt. I'm invulnerable means that it has still had no effects on who I really am as a spiritual being, who I really am as a child of God. It's unaffected by what's going on with my body. There's my body, and then there's me. And the reason why you know they're not the same thing is because you literally say, my body. So who's the my that has the body? It's my body. Well, who's my? You see what I mean? So you and your body are not the same thing, and you know that even in your conversation. But the part of you that thinks you are a body, which is the part of you the Course says that's scared, weary, thinks it can be hurt, depressed, unhappy, or whatever, the part of me that thinks I am the body, that part of me is continually trying to prove to me I am a body and things are just as bad as it's saying it is, and it uses my body to prove it to me by doing two things. The part of me that wants me to think I am the limited person is going to use pleasure and pain to make my body real to me. So I make this real through the pleasure I give myself, or I make this real through the pain I give myself. I make this real through the pleasure I give myself. I make this real through the ow. And so most of us like to make it real through the ugh. You know what I'm saying? Rather than the pain. But both of them equally fool you about who you are. The pain fools you just as much as the pleasure. The pleasure, as a matter of fact, pleasure fools you more. Because pain is an illusion you don't want, and physical pleasure is an illusion you do want. So the first part of your spiritual awakening is the part of you that wants you to still think you're that old limited person. It's going to use pain to try to distract you from believing that you are invulnerable. It's going to use pain to try to make you think this is a crock of crap and it doesn't really work. So at first you're going to suffer. All right. Then at some point you're going to go, wait a minute, the suffering I'm going through is a trick to make me forget I'm the child of God, that I really can't be hurt because I'm a spiritual being. Okay? Then when you keep doing that enough, every time you hurt, you go to the truth. Every time you hurt, you go to the truth. Every time you hurt, you go to the truth. Well, the part of you that's trying to hurt you doesn't want you to go to the truth, because if you go to the truth, you eventually get rid of the part of you that's hurting you. So your pain was really supposed to make you go away from the truth. I'm hurting, so I don't have time to study. I'm hurting, I don't have time to meditate. I'm busy, I don't have time to focus on the truth. So for some people, the pain is a distraction from the truth, and because they're in pain, they don't focus on the truth anymore because they're too busy dealing with their pain. So in that case, the pain is really distracting them from who they are. So that's the person who's going to get more pain. Okay, if you're the kind of person that the minute you have a problem, you forget the truth and you go away from the truth and you don't go to your spiritual path, then you're just going to get more pain. Not because you're being punished, but because that part of you that wants you to have the old ideas you have about yourself, that part of you that doesn't believe that you're this beautiful, unlimited being, it sees that it can distract you from the truth if it gives you a hard day. So you're going to be given more and more hard days, so you'll be more and more tempted not to go to the truth. But if you're the kind of person that you go, oh, I'm having this problem and I'm feeling some pain and I'm feeling weak, I'm still strong, so this must be a trick to make me forget who I am. So I need to go to my curriculum. I need to go to my truth so I can remind myself before I forget. I need to remind myself before I forget because I'm upset today, so I'll forget the truth, okay? So every time you hurt, you go to the truth. Well, the part of you that wants you to forget this stuff, it doesn't want you to go to the truth, so it'll stop giving you the pain because you're using the pain to go to the truth. Okay, so then your pain begins to die down, and then the most insidious trick of all happens. All right, let me tell you the insidious trick of all happens.
What is it?
Yes, it's insidious trick music. Okay, now... You can't share insidious trick stuff without insidious trick music. One more time. And then so one day you're going to be walking down the street and you're trying to fool yourself about something, and all of a sudden you're going to remember this moment. And you're going to go, oh, this is insidious trick. I hear it. Well, this is an insidious trick moment, you know. Okay? Then the insidious is that your ego is going to start using pleasure. So all of a sudden you're going to be having so much pleasure. You're having such a good time. It feels so good. Things are going so great. You're looking good. You're having what you want. The body is good. It's all good. And guess what? I don't have time to study today because I got this cool thing I got to do out here. Ooh, this feels so good. I don't really need to read like I used to because, you know, I'm okay now and I don't want to be too dependent on the truth. So, you know, you come up with all these lame excuses not to actually focus on the truth the way you did. So that is like driving a car without putting any gas in it, expecting it to keep taking you on your trip. So you're not doing the thing that created the good stuff in the first place. So you're no longer feeding the part of you with the truth that's creating the cool stuff. And then you wonder why all of a sudden all that pleasure I was experiencing, it tanked. Okay? It tanked because you stopped doing the truth the minute you started getting the things that you want. Because most people look at the truth the way they look at a headache pill, a pill for a headache. I'm upset right now, so I'm going to do some truth. As soon as the situation begins to get a little bit better, I'm through with the truth now, and I don't need it until the next problem comes up. That's the way an unconscious person deals with the truth. A conscious person is all about the maintenance program. They're all about things are going good. I want to keep them going good. So I'm going to keep focusing on the things that made it go good in the first place. And I'm going to make sure I give it to myself more so that I don't dip back into that old state of consciousness of fear. So the thing that I'm sharing with you right now is to teach you how not to be fooled by the tricks you're going to play on yourself to make you stop your vision quest. Don't you think for a second you're not going to try to take you off the path.
Yeah.
Especially if things are going better than it ever has and you don't think you deserve it at some level. You're going to punish yourself. You know, you're going to get sick. You're going to have an attack. Even whenever I'm sick, I go, oh, okay, love got too close. Mm. The truth got too close. Now I got to kind of convince myself that I can't be peaceful all the time. You know. And so then I call my sickness my defense against the truth. My sickness is my request for the truth to come into my life again. It's not something to feel guilty about. It's just a way for you to know you want some love. And you need to remember love again. Because it also means you're angry about something. These are all things that I'm just sharing. The advantage of sharing the course with you like this after studying it for many, many years is that it saves you time. And that's the purpose of any relationship, is to save you time. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, I hope you study on your own, but that still doesn't stop me from saving you some time if you let me. You know, you can go ahead and come, you know, study for 20 years and then come to the same conclusion. You know what I'm saying? Or you can go ahead and accept what you already know to be true, but you know what I'm saying is true. You know you go through pleasure and you know you go through pain. You know when you go through that, it makes you think you are this thing that's going through it. You know when you feel weakened and less than something, there's a tendency to try to either bring that thing down to your level or be, hopefully you can be motivated to want to elevate yourself. If you're beating yourself up because you think you're lacking in some kind of way, the only way you can stop that pattern is to tell yourself that all of these attacks on yourself have not changed anything about who you really are. That's the only way to stop attacking yourself, is to realize your attacks on yourself have no real effect on who you really are. Okay, that was the first two paragraphs. All right, so then it goes on to say, now this is the problem. He says, you never realize the utter uselessness of attack except by recognizing your attack on yourself has no effects. For others do react to attack if they perceive it. And if you're trying to attack others, you will be unable to avoid interpreting this as reinforcement. In other words, if I attack you because I'm trying to equalize the situation, you feel me trying to attack you, then you're going to react to that by maybe attacking me back, which is reinforcing my belief in attack. So when I attack you, I go off on you because I'm saying, well, you know, you're not too stupid as you think you are either. Okay? Then you're probably going to say, oh, I love you for saying that. So that person will probably get in a defensive attack posture, and then that'll reinforce your belief in attack because now you see them attacking you back. Okay? Then it goes on to say the only place you can cancel out all reinforcement is what? In yourself. So if I want to stop reinforcing attack, I have to stop reinforcing anger in myself. Anger is a form of attack on yourself. So if I'm a kind of person that's angry all the time, then I've got to stop reinforcing anger in myself, stop attacking other people, then watching them attack me back, which reinforces my anger. See the vicious circle? It starts something like this. I don't think I'm good enough. I'm surrounded by people that seem better than me in some way. I'm going to bring them down because me attacking myself, that was what weakened me and brought me down. So I need to recognize that even when I criticize and judge myself and condemn myself and anybody else, I'm really not doing anything to myself, because who I really am cannot be attacked. So I'm canceling out the reinforcement by going, you know what? I'm feeling like I'm weaker. I feel like I've been attacked. But you know, the truth is, as being a child of the universe, a child of God, a creation of infinite spirit, I can't be attacked. Even though it looks like it, even though it feels like it, I can't be attacked. And since I can't be attacked, and therefore I have not been hurt, I'm not reinforcing the idea of attack in my own self. So even if you do say something to me, I won't get upset with you, because I know nothing that you're saying is in the truth about me. So I'm cool. So I'm reinforcing that I cannot be attacked by not being defensive. Because what you're saying is just a bunch of crap. How do I know it's a bunch of crap? Because you said something about me that's not true. What did you say about me that's not true? Anything that's not loving? If you say anything that's not loving about me, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Your perception is wrong. And I don't have to defend myself, because I know I'm cool. See, you hear what I'm saying? This book is giving us very logical ways to change our emotional responses to things. And it's not hard, it's just different. It's not hard. Nothing that I'm saying is hard. It's just very different. It's not the way we are oriented toward responding to stuff. I'm not oriented to tell myself I'm really hurting right now, but it's not really having an effect on who I really am. I was taught to go, I'm really hurting right now. Which one of y'all did it? And which one of y'all am I going to hold a grievance with and make you change so you can make me feel better? And the reason why I know you're not any better than me is because you're not as loving as you ought to be either. So I'm finna equalize you, Joker. And that's what y'all to do when you're mad. Just walk up to somebody and say, I'm finna do some equalizing right now. And you just well get ready for it. I'm finna equalize you, buddy. You know, I'm gonna equalize you for what you did last night. Instead of just when I'm angry at you. When you do stuff like that, it allows the truth to really sink in your mind when you don't use common terminology for things that you used to use. Like, instead of saying, I'm angry at you, I will go, I'm trying to make myself weak with you. You know, I'm mad at you right now. I'm trying to make myself vulnerable with you. So that's different than just saying I'm angry at you. You still got the emotion of anger, but you're defining it differently, and that dissipates it and makes it disappear, because you're telling the truth about anger. It's just my attempt to make myself weak. And if you thought, so your mind will go, well, why do you want to make yourself weak? Right, so all of a sudden your mind will start to not get angry as much, because your mind has already been trained not to make you weak. So if I said, mind getting ready to attack you, it's going to weaken me, my mind will go, why would I want to weaken me? So if you tell the truth, it'll dissipate the illusion. If you lie to yourself, it just increases it. And that's how you tell when you're practicing the truth and when you're not. If you're not practicing the truth, the situation is just getting worse in your perception. If you are practicing the truth, you're feeling yourself being released and freed more and more from it. And that's all you have to do to tell what you're doing to yourself. It's no more complicated than that. You don't have to make it really complicated. If you're a miserable person right now, you're not practicing the truth with yourself, and you're innocent. That's all. You're innocent. And so you go, even though I'm telling myself this stuff, I'm still loved. I'm still lovable. You might not like me, but somebody will. You know, that's what you tell yourself, stuff like that. You might be released to me and you don't see my value, but I see my value, and somebody else will see my value. So that means I have not been weakened. So you don't want to show a person that they hurt you from the perspective that they really hurt you. So that's not the same as you wouldn't tell a person what you were feeling. It's just that don't you fool yourself into thinking that they're the ones that really did something to you.
I was just going to say, I just had sort of a, I don't know, experience the other day that, of course, made me look at stuff, but I had a complaint about me, and it's different because it's a third party. So she, I didn't even know what happened. I didn't. I offended somebody without even being aware. And so
I wouldn't know nothing about that.
I don't know anything about that. Okay, so here's what's so interesting about it. I mean, I have no knowledge or anything of it. And so, but she made a complaint to a third party. And the third party talked to me about it. And her problem wasn't that I offended it. It was that I didn't perceive myself as guilty of offending someone. You know what I mean? In other words,
You didn't act guilty enough.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Nothing makes a guilty person madder than somebody else not feeling guilt. Nothing upsets a person that feels guilty than somebody else not feeling guilty. So the Course says to the ego, the guiltless are guilty. So in other words, there are people that there would nothing would make them madder than for you to act like they did that, for you to act like you didn't hurt them. They want you to act like they did hurt you. Or that you did hurt them, excuse me. They want you, in other words, after you hurt me, you're supposed to feel bad about it. I can't tell you hurt me and you go, I am still strong. I want to kill you. You're supposed to go, oh, I'm sorry. I won't do that. What did that do? You want me to do it different for you? Because the purpose of the guilt is to control you. The purpose of the guilt is to manipulate you. That's why they want you to feel guilty, so that they can have power to change you, make you change into what they want you to be. So if you go, I really want you to feel peace, and I'm sorry that for some reason you're not feeling peace. You know, but my purpose has only been peace. So whatever you're going through, that was not my intention. Yeah. See, that has nothing to do with me saying I feel guilty. It also has nothing to do with me changing. You know, I prefer that you didn't feel pain about my actions, but this is the way I am. And I didn't have the intent to harm you. Now, after that, there's nothing else you can do. Then you can get caught up in the drama and then see that your job now is to change their mind about you. But that's the ego's plan. So you always be trying to change something outside of yourself in order to be happy, and that never works. And your ego wants you to get them back on that path of I'm going to change somebody, or I'm going to change for somebody so that they can be happy. That's the way the world likes you to do relationships, because it allows us to continue to manipulate each other. But you can't manipulate a person who's waking up to the truth. And that's why people who still want to play the old guilt game would never, I'm warning you, the people who want to keep using guilt to manipulate will not be attracted to you. So don't be amazed that the more you get in the truth, the less people you'll be attracting to you for a while. You'll go from being really, really magnetic, because you're guilty, attracting other guilty people. You manipulate, so you attract other manipulators. You play the fear game, so you attract, and they all look good, and they got nice fashion sense. And you're really turned on because of the way they look, and you still make each other guilty, and you're still processing. But then you start to wake up, and you go, wait a minute. I'm doing this to myself. They're not doing anything to me. I'm the one that's choosing to feel this way. Okay, you're ready to take responsibility, so now you're ready to get out of the pain. They still want to blame, so they got to be attracted to somebody who still fulfills their need to manipulate, and so they won't be attracted to you. So you stop attracting people to you who want to hurt you. And I just want to warn you, because that might be disappointing. I'm very sincere about this. The more sane you become, the less appealing you'll be to people who don't recognize what love is. And since you've been used to being in a world surrounded by people who don't recognize what love is, it'll look like there's a drop in your social life. Mm-hmm. Because you simply don't attract the drama kings and queens the way you used to. They can't hang around you very long. And they'll try to pull you back into the way they are by attacking you, by saying, you know, well, you're not as cool as you think you are. There's something wrong with you, too. But they're trying to equalize. And so you wake up and you go, oh, a little equalizer. All right. You're trying to equalize. It ain't going to work, because I recognize it, because you can't fool me when I know what you're doing. You can only fool me when I don't know what you're doing. So if somebody tries to use guilt to manipulate me, all it does is make me back off from a more, and it makes me not want to do what they're asking me to do. It's just the opposite effect. They don't know how to react, and they freak out. Wait a minute. You're not letting yourself be manipulated by my anger? No. I'm not letting myself be manipulated by your anger because I'm not responsible for your anger. You're making yourself angry. And so the ego goes berserk. Mm-hmm. So when you first try to practice this stuff on people who are used to manipulating you, they're probably going to escalate their anger at first. And I keep emphasizing at first, because they're going to try harder to get you to cave in the way you used to when you thought you deserved to be treated like that. And they're used to manipulating you, and you can't do it anymore. So they get angry, so that maybe you'll still give in. And if you don't, they will either change the way they relate to you, or they'll leave. That's they're going to do one. They're either going to go, you know, if I'm going to deal with you, I'm going to have to be more sane. I'm going to have to be more kind, because you don't respond to my attacking guilt trips on you. So I'm going to go, shit, I got to find somebody that I can manipulate who looks a certain way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I got to do it. Before I can have my next manipulation, I got to be attracted to you now. You got to look cute. Well, you can be worthy of my manipulation.
There you go.
You know, you know what I'm saying? You got to be cute now. Then I, you know, because I'm cute. I'm a cute manipulator. I got to have somebody that can be manipulated that's cute. And then hopefully, if you think you can manipulate me, we'll have a relationship born in heaven. But I can't deal with anybody who my guilt doesn't work on. Because that's a person that's saying, I'm still strong, I'm still strong, I'm still strong. So it's not about you pretending you don't feel pain when you feel pain. It's just about you remembering when you feel pain that it's just a trick to make you think you're no longer this spiritual being that you were created to be. It's just a trick. But it doesn't mean you're being denial. It doesn't mean you don't go to the medicine cabinet and get the medicine if you think you need it. You know why? Because if you can alleviate it fast, whatever the pain is, it breaks your concentration on it.
Yep.
So therefore, it doesn't help you feel more weak. Like if you go, I got a headache, but now since I'm into New Thought, and I'm going to heal myself, and I'm going to heal myself of the headache without taking medicine. Okay? The Course says, no problem. Try it. Then he says, did you try it? Did it work? No. Don't try it again. Go get the aspirin. Because if you could heal yourself, you would have done it. So now you're just continuing to focus on your pain, which is taking you further into unconsciousness. So your so-called very high goal is really putting you more asleep. It would be better to go ahead and, because you obviously believe in something outside of yourself, because if you believe that the healing power was inside of yourself, you would have healed the headache. So there are but two choices. Either I believe the healing power is in me, or I temporarily believe the healing power is in something outside of me, because those are only two choices. Inside, outside. Inside, outside. Those are the only two choices. Inside, outside. Okay. So if I couldn't do it on the inside, I must would believe it's on the outside. That's why, in a way, if you don't believe that you love yourself, I'm not saying that don't mean that you won't find love in the world. But what you're going to have come to you is someone to help you learn what love is. So both of y'all are going to have y'all's issues. Because if you need to learn what love is, they're going to need to learn what love is. So what you're going to have is a regular relationship. Two people who don't know what love is trying to get together and trying to hook up. So they're going to need to learn together. So it's not saying if you're lonely, you won't attract anybody. You will, but they're going to have the same dysfunctions you do. So you're going to have to learn how to practice forgiveness and open-mindedness and all that stuff, because you know you're not going to attract anybody who don't have the same qualities you do. It doesn't work like that. Even if it looks like it's different at the beginning, because it has to look like it's not that way in the beginning, or you wouldn't get into the lesson. So y'all, so they have to be like they're the one at the beginning, so that you'll go in and get with your teacher. And that was just a what? Preview of coming attractions. It's the way you all are going to one day treat each other when you really learn how to love. It's the way you treat each other at the beginning. Because at the beginning, you only appreciate each other. At the beginning, you're going, oh, I'm so grateful to have them. Oh, aren't they so cool? Oh, honey, I'm so crazy about that. Oh, they just so, wow. See, at the beginning, I'm seeing you correctly, but that's just so I can see what way that I'm really going to see you when I get rid of my crap. I'm just a preview of coming attractions. And then 3 months into the relationship, you're seeing everything you need to let go of and heal so that you can really have the kind of attitude you had when you first saw each other. Is everybody following what I'm saying? I got to be okay. So that's why relationships always seem to start out so hot and passionate and so cool, but then they degenerate. They're not really degenerating. You're just getting ready to go through the lessons that you have to learn in order to really love each other. Because you didn't know how to love each other when you met, really. You know you didn't, because you already didn't love yourself completely. So you really think you're going to be a person that doesn't love yourself completely, but you're going to like attract somebody that's immaculate in their love? That would be a complete violation of the universal laws. That person who's really loving, don't you think they deserve somebody better than you? I don't mean that in a derogatory, you know what I'm saying? That's like saying I've worked for years and years to get the Olympic medal, and they're not going to give it to me by hooking me up with a college team. You know what I'm saying? I need somebody on Olympic level, because I'm on Olympic level, I deserve Olympic level. So if I'm a really loving, giving person, it would be cool for me to hook up with somebody who wouldn't know how in the heck to give anything. I deserve somebody who knows how to give too. But I used to believe I could be as dysfunctional as hell and I'd attract this perfect person. Like they're just walking around looking for screwed up people, even though they're okay. I'm just praying. I've been working on myself for years and I really love myself. Now let me see if I can find a woman who don't love herself at all. She's going to be fun. No, that's not what you're doing. You want somebody either the way you are or maybe a little bit more. So you can stretch a little bit more. In the comments. Any thoughts? Any thoughts? That's what I think.
I so appreciate you. Thank you so much.
And that's why I'm still in your life. Yeah, because I tend to hang out with people who appreciate me.
Yeah.
I mean, when I didn't.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's been so much easier, Bonnie.
So much easier.
I just can't tell you how much easier it is being with people who like me.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know, something about it.
No.
I used to like I was always attracted to the people who didn't want me. It's like almost like that was the prerequisite. You had to not really want me for me to be attracted to you. You too?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like for some reason you'd always want the person that wasn't acting out your script. That'd be the main one you would
attack.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, then yes, and that's what
you're throwing themselves at you. You're like, I don't know.
If you accept people who I am and you worship and adore me, get the hell out of the way. You're my friend. Okay? Just be my friend. I need a lover. And that's going to be hell. You know, and I'm going to repeat again, that's the way it is when you're in your ego mind. But when you're in your real mind, you have the coolest intimate relationships that you can imagine, that you're with the person that you're grateful for every day, and you feel like every day you're moving faster and faster just because you know each other. So don't take me to be anti-special relationship. I'm not. I'm anti-pain. And I said it over and over. I'm anti-stupid, painful hookups. And the course tells you, this is the way you have a stupid and painful hookup. First of all, you be with somebody that's not strong. They may see yourself as weak. So they're going to try to equalize the situation by always criticizing you and telling you what's wrong with you so that they can feel superior, because they're trying to build themselves up because they really believe they've been torn down. And that's the game. So you're always criticizing each other, always trying to change each other. There's always something wrong with each other. And, you know, and it was real temptation not to give in and hook up with somebody, even though I knew they weren't good for me, just because of their body parts. Uh-huh. Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
body
parts? I mean, look at how people look, what they have. What are you talking about? I'm so spiritual, I could fall in love with the Hunchback of Notre Dame. What do you mean? I don't look at bodies. Bodies don't matter to me. What a person has doesn't matter to me. How they look, how old they are, what color they are, what they got. That doesn't matter to me. That's a lie. It does matter to our ego. Because I got to choose whether or not you are acceptable to act. I got to choose whether or not you are acceptable to act out my special form of fear with. I don't know how to love, but I do know how to do a special form of fear. Mm-hmm. I can do that really good. You know, I can give you some of the sweetest, juiciest fear you ever had. And you, matter of fact, it'd be such a good fear, you'll swear it's love. Mm-hmm. except when you try to do anything or be the least bit free in any way, then you see real quick that I'm not giving you special love, honey. I'm giving you special fear. All right, let's go on then, okay? Look at a little bit more before we wind down here. Any questions? Any comments? I'm open.
I have one.
Okay.
What if you're dealing with like a family member? What if you're getting back on the bike over and over again and you're really making progress? Whoa, what is working? You know, it's happening. And they're just like, wham!
That is the same thing. They're trying to equalize the situation. You've been getting on the bike because a part of them feel threatened by that.
Right.
So they're trying to equalize that what you're trying to do isn't cool or what you're trying to do is crazy. It's the same thing. And you remind yourself that no matter what they say or do, you are still strong.
Yes.
And by you remembering that you are still strong and that what they are saying is not having any real effect on you, then when they do it, it won't bother you at all. It won't upset you at all. Because you realize no matter what they say, you're still cool. The direction you're going in is the right direction.
Right.
And that takes practice because we're used to thinking that we're weak. And let's face it, our family, they know our spots.
Right.
They know our button. They know our egos better than anybody does. You know what I'm saying? So
they,
if you can, with your cooperation and support, they did that. So the Course is telling us that, always remember this, no matter what the situation, the answer is always the same. There is not a such thing as a different answer for a different situation. From a Course perspective, which I thought was mind-boggling.
Yes.
In other words, that's still an example of someone trying to equalize and making you feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just what we're talking about. So what do? You remind yourself that you are still strong, and that no matter what they think about you, you're still that innocent, beautiful, powerful being that you are. And the more you reinforce that in yourself, the less anything that they say will be able to bother you. And not only that, this is the cool part. So once you really accept that, you're going to find the most amazing thing is going to happen. They are going to back off. They're going to stop doing any of the stuff that they're doing right now. But it's hard to believe it until you actually make the inner change yourself. See, the Course says that as long as you're waiting for everybody else to change before you believe the truth, then you'll never get the truth. Because if we're all one, then when you get it, we'll all get it. And so when it looks like everybody hasn't gotten it, it's because you haven't got it yet. So everybody's like sitting back waiting. Well, I'm waiting for everybody else to get it. Well, you haven't got it. When you get it, everybody else will get it. Why? Because we are joined. And if we are joined, whatever goes in one of our minds is really going in all of our minds. If you're cooking something, I don't care what part of the pan you put the seasoning in, it starts to season the whole food you're eating. So you are allowing yourself to be the seasoner. But when you really get it, much to your amazement, the people around you, you will find if you accept this for real, it will look like the people in your personal life are going through some kind of a magical transformation, either where they really seem to change, or the people who really want to teach you the truth, they won't. They'll stay just the way they are. And you will have to change your perception of them.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I thought everybody was changing around me.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't changing.
Right.
I was.
Right.
And my perception of them changed. And so it made them appear to change as well. And maybe they did.
Yeah.
It didn't appear as much as...
Yeah, there's some people in my life that after studying for years and years and years and years, they seem to be exactly the way that they always were.
Right.
The thing that I notice is different is the way I'm reacting to them. Okay.
Instead of anger, now they're kind of cute.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, you little cute, insane thing. You're the cutest little crazy
like
person I ever met. Yeah, like, fuck you, you little juicy, crazy person. You know. And then sometimes you're gonna also allow yourself to be sucked into that illusion, and then you'll find yourself acting just as insane as they are, and then that's where forgiveness of yourself comes in, and that's the same as what? Falling off the bike and then dusting yourself off and say, oops, well, I thought I was going to be loving all day today, but I want to kill about three people. Well, tomorrow, maybe maybe tomorrow I'll feel a lot better, you know. And that's what you literally do. Oh, I'm mad right now. I'm making myself mad. That's what you do. I'm making myself mad right now. I'm making myself mad right now. I'm really depressing myself right now. What's wrong? How you doing? I'm depressing myself right now. Even as you speak, I'm thinking of things that depress me right now, and I feel the depression of the things that I'm telling myself right now, and I'm just going to feel my depression right now. I don't want to feel good right now. And that's what you're doing. You're empowering yourself completely when you say that, just as much as you were trying to be positive. Just own even your so-called negative feelings, and you're still empowering yourself. Just as long as you don't say somebody else's default, you call it for your power. I know it looks like they're doing it to you. I know it feels like they're doing it to you. I know that. It just looks just like that low down dog. I know it looked like they hurting you, and you just the sweetest little innocent thing in the world, aren't you? You wouldn't hurt a fly, and everybody just mistreating you. I know your face is just wet with tears of all the injustices that the world would put on somebody who seems to be kind and good. Oh, but you know what? Under your little face of innocence, you mad as hell, and you hate everybody, and you wish everybody was dead.
I'm down to two steps. It used to be the whole city of Denver. Especially in the evening traffic. But now, that's just two people I want dead. So there's been a big improvement. I only want to run down my uncle with my car. It used to be my whole family with my uncle. You know, so of course it's always feel good about improvement.
So I'm gonna stop right here and so would you acknowledge yourself as being willing to hear this kind of stuff? So I'm gonna do the love offering, and then I'm gonna do a quick little review before we go out into the dream, because we're going back out into the lab. Isn't it? On alert for the pleasure test in the hot tub. Be aware of the hot tub test. Yeah. Oh God, I'm feeling like this weekend you're gonna have a lot of temptations to forget the truth.
Hopefully.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we hope for. I hope something happens. So, Sunday, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, I've never been, and I think that whenever I go do anything from the perspective of what I've learned, it's always a very unusual experience. It's like it's never the kind of experience that a regular person has when you're like looking at it through this, the eyes of this stuff. And so anyway, I'm going to go check out the grown folks' Disneyland and see what happens. And so I think I'm going to get a pleasure test. I have a little suspicion.
You got to be outside the city limits for that one.
Oh, okay. It's not in the... Sounds like you heard about her. But you don't have any personal experience with any of that. No, that's what I thought. Okay. So anyway, but that will be a Sunday. So Easter weekend. This one weekend I'm talking about. Not this coming weekend. I got some more stuff this weekend. In fact, right now, it's like spirit is just, okay, can you take this love? Can you handle this love? What about this? What about, can you open yourself up more? Can you not see yourself? You know, I love it. I love the test that I'm giving myself. The receiving test. And sometimes it gets so good that I get thoroughly depressed and sad. Thoroughly depressed and sad. Because it's more than I think I deserve, and so I think I have to pay for it with some type of sadness. So I'll think of something that happened to me that made me feel bad, and I think about it all day so I can feel bad enough to be okay for the next good thing, because I would have suffered enough for the next good thing to come. Y'all are familiar with that plan? I got to pay for my pleasure with some kind of pain so it'll be okay for me to have my next pleasure, because look at how much I suffered. So it's okay for me to feel good right now, because look at what I went through. So you find you give yourself pleasure and pain, then pleasure and pain, and we wonder why that happens, but we don't know what's happening because we're trying to pay for our pleasure so we can have another one. So if you've been having a lot of blessings and things been going good, and all of a sudden you feel like you're up against the wall, that's just you thinking that you got to pay for your pleasure.
and pay for the good thing that just happened so that you can have some more now, because look at what you've gone through, you poor thing. So the course teaches you how to recognize those dances that you're doing with yourself. All right? All right, so this is our lesson as we go out into the lab. Try not to equalize people. Realize that when you're condemning yourself or feeling weakened, you know that you may be tempted to attack somebody now, because you saw yourself as weak first before you get angry and attack. So if you know you've been criticizing yourself for days, don't be surprised when you start a fight. The way that you stop that whole process is to tell yourself, I know it looks like I'm hurting myself, I know it looks like I've been weak, and I know I might not feel good, but you know what? Who I really am has not been affected by this. Who I really am is still strong. Who I really am is still loving. Did you hear me? Okay. Also, remember, if you attack somebody, that's going to look like they're going to attack you back, and that's going to reinforce your belief in attack. So you want to cancel out all the reinforcement and attack in yourself by reminding yourself, I'm stronger than I think I am. I'm stronger than I believe I am. I'm stronger. I'm better than I think I am. I'm more loving than I might. If you criticize yourself, everything about me is really okay. I really am powerful. I really am. I don't have to believe it. I don't even have to necessarily see it. But that's the truth about me. That begins to break the cycle. All right? All right?
Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate y'all. I'll see you the next time that I promise I'll see you the next time I see you. And hugs are available, and if you want to sign up for the seminar, it's over here. And I'm available for personal sessions, and I got forms for that too. You're not alone. You don't have to go through this by yourself. Unless you just want to.
No.
What? Not really.